Okay. I've got to start. I'd like to welcome everybody. Excuse me.
Hello.
You need a gavel.
Hello. Yes. I'd like to welcome everybody to the April 17th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. We've already called our roll because we did have an executive session at 6 o'clock. So at this point, we are on item number 3. And so I'd like to rise to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started here, I would like to thank Mr. L. for hosting this meeting here at Mill Valley Elementary. We appreciate the hospitality. And now for item 4, do I have a motion to approve our agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Now moving on to Employee of the Month.
All right, it's my pleasure to announce the Employee of the Month as Annie Leonard.
Said about you and why you receive this award, so hang tight, right? Annie deserves recognition as Employee of the Month because she is compassionate, she's very friendly, she is caring, she's very dedicated, is always smiling, and always willing to help. Navin Elementary is very lucky to have Annie, and I would agree, when you go in there, you're definitely greeted with a smiling face, and it's a great place to
Congratulations. All right.
We're going to do a motion.
Oh, yes. Yes. Can we have a motion to approve Ann Leonard as our Employee of the Month? All right. Mr. Smith, second.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Moving on to number 6, presentations.
It's also our lucky. We started last year honoring athletes and special events, co-curriculars and extracurriculars that qualify at the state level and above. And so it's my pleasure to introduce several of those people tonight. I think we'll start with the wrestlers, if that's okay. And Coach Andrews will come forward. And maybe members of the board, if you'd like to come up, the students are going to get a plaque. And if
Great.
You want to shake their hand, and we'll take some picture opportunities.
First of all, I just want to say thank you to the board for giving us the opportunity to come and have our young men recognized. It was an outstanding year for our wrestling program, capitalized by a third-place finish at the state tournament. That was the highest finish of any team in Central Ohio as far back as we could find. So very, very proud of our athletes. Probably more proud that of our 31 student athletes, 19 of them were scholar athletes. So an amazing accomplishment. I won't take too much of your time, but individually, Alex Apeda, about to come up. Alex is a state qualifier for us this year. Alex is a junior. He had an outstanding season. Placing third, we finished a point and a half ahead of fourth place. And so even though Alex didn't manage to place this year, he did win a match down there, and his match was the difference between us being fourth, actually fifth and third. So a huge contribution. Taylor Vermine, also a junior. Taylor finished fourth in the state team this year. This is the third time Taylor has placed at the state meet. We've only had one other athlete who's been a four-time state placer, and Taylor's on pace to match that next year. Additionally, Alex and Taylor, both with having a 3.5 GPA or higher, are also recognized as Academic All-Ohio. So a big honor for the two of them. David Sparks. D. David finished fifth in the state meet this year. He finished his career as a four-time state qualifier and two-time state placer. And he is going to continue at Campbellsville University in Russell, which is a school down in Kentucky. So we wish him well. Hayden Lee. Hayden was actually our Division I 113-pound state champion this year. And for that honor, he was on top of that, he was actually recognized as the Division I wrestler of the state tournament, the outstanding wrestler at the state tournament for his he hadn't had a point scored on him since the first weekend of the sectional tournament. So an outstanding run, and he's actually going to wrestle at Arizona State University next year. Wow. Austin Carr. Austin, also the state champion. Austin finishes as a three-time state qualifier, two-time state placer, state champion this year with a final record of 46-1. His only loss, the first week of the year, we had the chance to wrestle in what's called the Ironman tournament. It's the number one tournament in the country, and he finished second, a one-point match there. So 46-1, state champion, and he is actually going to wrestle at Brown University next year and pursue an Ivy League education. So. To work with these young men and the rest of the members of the team. It was an outstanding year, not just for the five of them, but we finished as sectional champs, district champs, league champs, and probably one of the things I'm most proud of is our football coach, Morgan Cotter, was talking to the football coach, Nolan Tangi Liberty, and we wrestled them in the final match of the year. Both teams were 6-0, and their head coach for Nolan Tangi Liberty, their football team, his son wrestles. And they came to the match, and he said it was the most intimidating environment his kids had ever come to. And so there's an amazing amount of school and community support, and it was really an outstanding year. So thanks for recognizing them.
And we have one gymnast. I think Mr. Cook is going to go ahead and give that award. We are fortunate enough to have a great relationship with the Y and kind of boosted our gymnastics program by using the future early college building as a gymnastics site for the community and the Y to use, and certainly it's worked out very well. I don't think the coach could be here this evening, but Aaron, I can let you go ahead.
Selena, yeah. Why don't you come on up? Selena had an excellent season. I think she's probably one of the reasons that we do have a club gymnastics team at the high school. I think she pushed really hard for it, from what I've heard. And she just had an excellent season, making it all the way to the state competition. And so congratulations. And you want to share what post-college or post-high school plans are?
I'm going to Bowling Green. Yeah.
Do you mind? There we go.
Thank you.
I think we'd like to get your picture if you don't mind with the group. Oh. Does someone have two or something? Can you just snap one?
Yeah, and then if you could send it to me.
Do you want to? We're going to move into Good Apple Awards.
Sure.
Do you need them to make a motion or anything?
Nope. Okay.
Okay. So it's pretty exciting evening. We get to give out all kinds of feel-good awards this evening. Tonight is also our Good Apple Awards, which really goes to those people who help in ways that, as a school district, we just couldn't do our jobs without your service and time and efforts to make a difference for our kids, whether it's people coming in to tutor, people helping in the office, people helping with fundraisers. Certainly you help us do the great work we do, and you're a vital part of that for us. So this evening, each building will be recognizing their good apples. So if I could have the principals come forward. We have a full crowd up here, I think. And what I will have you guys do is announce your person, give them their gift, and talk about what they do for your building. And then we'll try to get a picture with the principal, the board, and their volunteer. Missy, would you like to start?
Certainly. My person is Kathy Lewis, and she is a grandparent, and she is such a busy woman, but tonight she is helping do the musical. She's a pianist for her church, and tonight's the program for their Easter program. So she is a grandparent that's been volunteering for over 5 years in my building. Her grandson's in third grade, and she tutors, she helps out with copy, she makes sure everything gets done. A little morale thing. She's always good. Hey, Missy, you need errands run. And, you know, it's so great to have grandparents. I can't speak enough how important it is to have grandparents because, you know, some of our children don't get those opportunities. And she's that person, you know, maybe a child that's upset or something. And she's so good about being that grandma influence. And Kathy's just an amazing person. And I'm very, very fortunate to have her. Like I said, she's a retired music teacher. And she teaches piano. And she plays piano for 3 different organizations, and tonight she is working again, and just on my staff's behalf, we're just very fortunate to have such a great grandparent. Thank you.
Bunsell Middle School's recipient of the Good Apple is Reverend John Grote. He is a very distinguished member of the Marysville community. Mr. Grote is pastor emeritus of the First Presbyterian Church of Marysville and is also known as Jack, or Reverend Grote. He is a longtime supporter of the Marysville schools and youth activities. Mr. Grote has served as a baseball umpire, although I feel it several times, maybe when I was playing back in the day, you didn't quite make the call that I was looking for. So you
never missed a call.
He is also a member at times of the Friday Night Chain Gang. He serves as chaplain for the Honor Guard. He has served on the school district financial committee as well as other school levies and other district community relations. And with me tonight, because currently, right now, the most recent contribution that Reverend Grote makes to our district is we get to see him once a year. And so he comes in and does a Veterans Day assembly for us. And I thought that we would have a member of the Social Studies Department also continue the recognition.
Well, plus, he's been around the community so many years, it takes 2 of us to read his accomplishments. But most recently, and the reason Bunsell Middle School is nominated for this award has been his willingness for several years to be gracious master ceremony and keynote speaker for our annual 7th grade Veterans Day Hall of Fame Assembly. Mr. Grote performs a wonderful blend of humor, history, compassion for the students as they reacquaint with their relatives or their special guests in front of the student body on Veterans Day. His enthusiasm, great speaking ability, and his willingness to help our young people understand the importance of veterans in our country has been priceless to the staff and to the students. Many people and many generations in Marysville know Reverend Grote, and his warmth and compassion in speaking make everyone at ease, and we're deeply appreciative for not only the volunteer efforts he's given Bunsell, but for the entire Marysville school and community.
Sure.
Can you two stand together?
Absolutely.
Can Bob stand
too?
Yes, please.
Don't try to take it.
1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm the principal here at Mill Valley, and we are honored to talk about Amy Hamilton, and we're so happy she just made it.
He was here at 6.
For the past 5 years, Amy has participated in many, many volunteer activities. She's been a classroom volunteer. She's helped with the flower sale, the holiday jubilee. But this year, she tackled not one, but two of our book fairs miraculously and successfully. And Amy, we can't thank you enough. And it was quite unanimous among the teachers and the staff that we wanted to make sure we honored you for all of your hard work this year. And whenever you see Amy in our school, on the rainiest or snowiest of day, it is always that smile that is infectious for our staff. So Amy, we are so proud to have you as our volunteer of the year.
Hi, good evening. I'm Carol Lentz, the principal at Raymond Elementary. And I am also fortunate to be able to recognize a grandparent this year. We have a number of wonderful parents and volunteers. But this year, Mrs. Rhonda Perdue, do you want to come on up? Thank you. Was our unanimous choice for Raymond Elementary. And I learned, not only has Rhonda been active the last 2 years that I've been principal, but a number of years that she's come and helped. We are just so fortunate to have her. Anything that we ask her to do, bless her heart, she comes in, she shelves books in the library. She volunteers in her grandson's classroom. She'll take things home if she's not finished, organizes materials for us. She is just a godsend to Raymond Elementary. I even asked her, I needed to get some new materials out that the district purchased, and I said, can you just come in and stamp books for me? I just need to get that Marysville stamp in so I can get these into classrooms. And she... I'll be here tomorrow. I'm like, oh, I love you. So anything that we have asked her to do. Recently, I kind of made a little bit of a shift and needed my art teacher to help me do some other work with kids, but we just needed someone to come in and help hang artwork and to organize. When do you need me? And she's here. So we can't thank you enough. I know one of the teachers also commented just how generous she is, how much she enjoys being a part of her grandson's life. Well, I can tell you, we certainly enjoy having you as a part of ours. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm next. Hi, I'm Lynette Lewis. I'm the principal at Navin Elementary, and we are thrilled to honor Heather Sloboda as our Good Apple Award winner this year. I'm going to read all the things you do, Heather, because you've been around now for 5 years, along with her husband, Mark, and her son, Connor, who has moved on, and Lauren, who's a fourth grader this year. So for my 5 years, this family has been a fixture at Navin. Some of the things that Heather has done, and correct me if I'm wrong, because believe me, she will. Parent Room Coordinator, PTO Treasurer, which I kind of roped her in for 2 years. You're welcome. Room Mom, Spring Fundraiser, Book Fair, Movie Night, Fall Family Night, Field Day, Muffins with Mom, Donuts with Dad, Breakfast Buddies, Staff Appreciation Week, and Donation Collection, which is why she's so tired. But thank you. So it is our privilege to recognize you, Heather, for being a wonderful addition to Navin. We're thrilled that you were our volunteer, and I'm happy to call you friend. She thinks she's moving on, but she's not. She may not have a child, but I have her phone number.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You go first.
Michelle, if you would come stand with me, please. It is my great privilege and honor to recognize CREPU's 13th Good Apple Award winner. Michelle Anderson. Michelle is the Wellness Director Coordinator at the YMCA. And part of the reason why we recognized Selena earlier, our gymnast, last year we restructured my staff and I had some gaps to fill with how I could cover recess. So I called Diane and said, Diane, I have a problem. And she said, I want you to talk to Michelle Anderson. So I called Michelle. We met over the course of the summer and we developed this partnership that Diane spoke of earlier. The YMCA uses our wonderful facility to support gymnastics, and in turn, my building gets Michelle Anderson and her group of three or four volunteers to support and coordinate recess activities for my 850 kids. So we met in the summer, and I said, Michelle, I have 850 kids and about 200 segments of kids at a time. I need you to supervise and coordinate. And she smiled at me just like she's smiling at me now and said, I can do it. And she did, and she did it well. I mean, without you and your resources, and as I calculate, over 1,500 people hours of service to my building this year, thank you so very much for your spirit, your positive energy, your leadership, and your smile. You made our building much, much more kid-friendly space. Thanks so much. And Michelle realized that she was our Good Apple Award winner about 2 hours ago. And I told her she had to give a speech, but we're going to pass on. Thank you so much.
I'm Aaron Cook. I'm the principal of Marysville High School, and this year our building would like to recognize a community member, a officer, a detective. He's been known as Mr. Good Apple. Don McGlenn, if you could come on up here. I will say in my short time in this district and in this building, he missed it. I didn't know we had that. just a great guy to have around the building. I think he is able to walk many paths. He comes in, he'll plain street clothes, sit and eat lunch with our kids and just talk with them about good choices, being proactive, just not the consequences that so often police officers have to deal with. He's really getting out there and getting after it and having proactive relationships with our kids so that they trust not just him, but I think all of our police force here in Marysville. He's a tremendous asset to our staff as well. We've gone through some different things this year, and he's been there to calm nerves, talk with everybody about do's, don'ts, what we should be thinking. Just is a great resource to have around. I've been an administrator for 7 years, and I've worked with a number of police officers, and I would certainly hold him up there as one of the top officers that I've worked with in my short tenure. So thank you very much for everything. We really appreciate it.
Not to mention he has two very proud daughters right there in the front. So cute.
Good evening. I'm Jonathan Langhouse. I'm the principal at Edgewood Elementary. And Sally Johnston is our Good Apple Award winner. She's currently in Australia. And we just received a postcard from her the other day. And her and her family had to go for business purposes, but they're having a wonderful time right now in Australia. It's 85 degrees, it's sunny, the fresh breeze of the ocean. I won't continue. What I'm going to do, though, is just read a paragraph that we wrote about Sally and we gave to her. Your dedication to Edgewood Elementary as a PTO board member, scholastic book fair chair, classroom parent, extravaganza supporter, and parent is just very much appreciated. You are a valuable team member and have contributed to the success of Edgewood Elementary. You have definitely made a tremendous difference in the lives of children and adults. You will be missed as Thomas moves on to Creekview next year. Mrs. McCabe, and Mrs. McCabe is the legendary secretary of Edgewood Elementary. She has a special relationship with Sally and her dog Maxie, so this will make sense. Mrs. McCabe will especially miss seeing you and Maxie in the drop-off pickup line. You and Maxie are more than welcome to continue to drive through the Edgewood parking lot to receive treats. You will still need to wait in line. Maybe Sally will positive difference you have made at Edgewood Elementary. Just a little side story. Sally comes in, especially at dismissal time, and always picks up her son Thomas. Every day Mrs. McCabe runs out, she gathers names so we can walk kids out, get in cars. And every day Mrs. McCabe walks out, she always has a doggy treat. And this has been going on for years. So, Tim, I hope you have some doggy treats. All right?
I will find some.
We'll make her day. But every day Mrs. McCabe would always give Maxie a doggy treat. And one day Mrs. McCabe wasn't able to go outside, and I did. And I walked by the car, and I thought the dog was going to attack me. So that's how I found out that story. So Sally Johnson is just a wonderful person, great individual, very dedicated to Marysville School. So congratulations to Sally Johnson.
The board office, Good Apple Award, could not be here either. He's on vacation in New York, Washington, D.C. area. It's Josh Carrasco. Josh is a volunteer that does just about anything from running Monarch Idol at the high school to videotaping graduation to coming in and just talking with kids all day long. He's also a foreign exchange parent, a foster parent for students in the district for the past 2 years, and just really has Marysville at the heart of everything he does. So I'll make sure that Josh gets his award as well, but wanted to mention that to you as well. I thank you all for coming. One of the most important lessons we can teach our kids is the importance of giving to others, and certainly you are a role model for that activity and certainly set a great example for our kids to look up to and understand how important that is. So thank you for what you do. Buildings, thanks for taking the time to recognize them as well. Thank you.
Do you want the board in that picture?
It's always fun. I know. I don't know. I'm not sure what happens. I'm scanning.
Okay. Okay. All right. We'd like to move on to our next item, please.
Hello.
Okay, guys.
Hello.
We need to move on. Okay. All right. As you go to get your pictures, I'd like to say that the board thanks you as well. And now, moving on to 6.3, a presentation from Mill Valley Elementary School on Common Core in their building. Take it away, Mr. L.
Thank you, board. If you'll give me just 1 second to make sure this is up and running.
I always have a picture on them too. That's good.
Okay.
Get ready.
Good. You don't see me.
Okay.
Great. Oh, look, it's up and running. You want me to draw it? Oh, that'd be great. Well, I appreciate the next hour of your time.
I'm joking, of course. Just wanted to...
A little levity.
Oh, thank you.
No, I will make sure that this is a short 15-minute presentation, but to be honest, I could obviously go on for an hour at least with making sure you understand the excellent Tier 1 instruction that's going on in the Valley. I talked to my teachers on Monday of this week, And I really asked them about our mission. And I said, one thing with choosing three words as our mission for the district is we want students to be able to own these words. So I asked the teachers for examples of ownership. And when I said innovate, what came to mind was our fourth grade leadership jobs that we have. We are doing behavior management online for the students, so parents can also check to see their students and how they're behaving in school. We've started a chess club at fourth grade with parent volunteers. So that's a few ways that we're being innovative. The next way I asked teachers was collaborating. How do we collaborate? What came to their minds was our RTI in progress monitoring model that we have. The constant work of the coaches in the classroom with the teachers. And again, our newspaper that we started this year, where we have teachers who are donating their free time to work with the students on some journalistic opportunities. That's how we're collaborating. And the last word, inspire. We've started something this year with our champion community meetings, and that really plays off the existing community efforts that has been going on at Mill Valley. But the students have the opportunity to earn trophies. So in a way, every day they come into the office, they inspire us with their stories as why they've earned those trophies. So really, my presentation on all of the excellent teaching of the teachers tonight focuses on three things. And in the packet that I've given you, I've included my work plan. I've included some handouts that I'll reference. But I'm going to talk about improving instruction for all students, closing the gap for our exceptional students, and safety. Those are the three areas I'm going to focus on tonight. Recently, Superintendent Mankins asked everybody in the district to work on a STEM pedagogy or an approach in the classroom. And she'd like us, as would the principals, to see this play out throughout this year, before the year ends. So what I have a short presentation on, one of our kindergarten teachers, Laura Cordell, who is here tonight, she is already doing some of these pieces in her classroom. So we can conceptualize what it would look like for a high school student to do STEM pedagogy, but I want to show you what it looks like for a kindergarten classroom to do it. So I'll minimize this. Is it just me, or do you not see the kids on the screen?
No pressure, but I'm tweeting you right now, Mr. L.
And she's saying she wishes she could see the video. Yeah.
Thank you. And Laura, if there's at any point you want to stand up and interject what's going on.
Okay, so we just did a project called Helicopter Rescue, and basically we had a problem presented that there was a troop of Boy Scouts that had gotten lost in the mountains of Mill Valley. They were unable to be reached by foot or by car. So they developed the plan that we needed some helicopters. And so then the challenge went on that we had to build the helicopters, and then each team had to design a heliport. But they had to have a heliport that was numbered according to their helicopter number. So we were able to work on Captain Cardinalis and hit every single standard in that.
I'm number nine. So I'm number six. Another one.
As she's giving these problems, she sets it up with criteria that they have to have, constraints, so she gives them limitations that they have to factor in, work within a certain amount of materials, and then the tools that they're using.
We can make a long line going straight, and then this, we can make a line like this, and then all these lines kind of like this for the own space for our helicopter. So they all, some of them go on one line, and then five go on one line, and then another line.
So this planning process all took part on one day, and then you'll see after they finish their designs, and what they're making right now is a shopping list so that they can get all the materials from me that they need to complete their design.
Spacing, yet strategy. Arguing your point of view. So that's actually what I think we're beginning to see elements of.
Six is the
criteria, and then there's the other group's project, and then this is next is going to show how we have to do it. So today they're rescuing their Boy Scouts. So they're little pipe cleaner people all around, and their job is to each person rescue one. And I call them back.
To our stations, because it is time for us to see how many Boy Scouts we have currently rescued.
And we checked in about 5 times during the process so that we could do the different mathematics.
How many Boy Scouts do you now have? Anna? Red team now has 8 Boy Scouts. Blue team, how many Boy Scouts do you now have? Brady? Now has 9. The last time we checked in, the red team had 3 and the blue team had 2. This time, the red team has 8, the blue team has 9. Can you tell me which team now has the most Boy Scouts rescued? Colton, which team now has the most Boy Scouts rescued? The blue team.
I wanted her to put in all the standards that are covered in this lesson. 13 standards covered in this one lesson. Laura, how many days did this take?
This project took 4 days, and then we're going to use the helicopters again later for an additional project that would actually be more science-based. So it was very good. And one really wonderful thing I find about using this in my kindergarten room, this group of kids has just embraced the 7 habits. And honestly, in order for them to successfully complete a STEM project in my room, they have to be proactive. They have to be able to begin with the end in mind, put the first things first, think win-win, seek first to understand and then to be understood, and to synergize. So we have really been able to pull what we've learned already using Covey and put it into play in this, because otherwise they would be battling the entire time. So our Covey started day 1 of kindergarten, and it is now paying off and in the ability to hit so many standards in one short amount of time. So
thank you.
Well done.
And so that's just one approach to a problem-based learning activity that we're doing. Continuing with the improved Tier 1 instruction, I'd be remiss not to talk about some of our highlights of our literacy and math coaching, Mr. Cole. So it's impossible to try to limit what all the coaches do, but let me touch on just a few. Supporting teachers to improve their Tier 1 instruction. If it's Bethany going into the classrooms to help teachers with doing rich math problems, if it's integrating subject matter reading into the science and social studies, if it's both of them working on the formative assessments, that's how they're working with the teachers to improve that instruction. They have both been critical in helping me analyze the data, if it's during our RTI meetings or our progress monitoring. They are there to help problem solve with teachers. The support for the professional development they've offered the building this year, Bethany took time out of her schedule to just focus on differentiation for the teachers in mathematics. Like I mentioned, the progress monitoring support really provides that team collaboration with teachers. And the individual coaching, I lost count after about 15 teachers that you both helped throughout the year on an individual basis. So that's another way that we focus on Tier 1 instruction. Like I said, the second area that we're going to focus on tonight is closing the gap for all of our students of exceptional skills, both the gifted students and the students with disabilities. At Mill Valley next year, I'm really excited that we are going to have an inclusive approach. And the teachers, after working with them this year, said, Mr. L, let's not say inclusion, let's say inclusive, because it doesn't sound as threatening, it sounds a little more open. And so I've embraced their suggestions with the idea of an inclusive approach. Basically, what this means is our intervention specialists are going into the classroom to work with students on IEPs. So that's happening in grades 1 through 4, and we've been taking this entire year to build the framework for support. We took a field trip to a district that was doing this
so we could see what it looks like in place. I had the teachers form relationships with a few of those teachers so they can continue an ongoing dialogue. When they have hiccups next year, they now have a reference point. We can fast forward to the next slide. Our fourth grade was doing such a great example of this with an inclusion model that I started to see the benefits of our gifted students in there also. Not just our special education students with IEPs, but I started to see the teacher having time to extend the curriculum for those gifted students, to ask those richer and deeper questions. So the benefit doesn't only benefit our special education students, but our students that are identified as gifted also. Another area that we've been working on is our sustainable RTI process. In your handout, our school psychologist, Mark Gallagher, has put together a model for when we meet with teachers and parents for how we problem solve. So I've included that model in there. And I asked Mark for the specifics this year. How many students have we brought to that process? And we have brought 15 students for that Tier 3 support, which is the most intensive support across the K-4 students. In grades K through 4, we do something called progress monitoring. We've done it twice so far this year. And when we crunched the numbers, we talked specifically about 76 students, 18% of the Mill Valley population, where we drilled very deep to see what are the obstacles for the learning. And that process involves the teachers, myself, the guidance counselor, the coaches, and we're trying to figure out how to help those students make progress. So 18% is who we talk about at these meetings. The next slide, I simply wanted to show you the students who are on track or not on track, and these students would be our not on track students. And I wanted to showcase that only because what's called ODE RIMP, that's the students that are not on track according to the State Department's definition of reading. And you can see the numbers. Marysville RIMP, we took it a step further. Is we took ODE's requirements and we said, you know what, but they're not meeting our literacy collaborative standards, our BAS standards. And so the column on the right are students that we're still going to drill down and help because they're not where we want them to be with the Marysville standards. So there's the discrepancy. It's interesting. And then the last slide I'll talk about is school safety, the third area we'll talk about. I asked the office staff to compile, and Candy and Caitlin said that we've had over 3,000 visitors in the building this year. We know that because we had 1,000 visitor stickers and we ran out early. So this was easy to gather that. But the safety procedures with parents turning in their license is not even a question. Except on a Friday afternoon when I see about 3 licenses in the drawer and I think, oh no, how are they going to get through the weekend now that their license is still here? Another thing we practice is the monthly Alice lockdown drills. How we do that here is we give the students 3 scenarios. An intruder is out in front of Mrs. Scheider's classroom. The teachers talk with their students wherever they are in the building, how they would react. Are they going to try to stay in the building? Are they going to flee, or are they going to help the teacher? So the teacher works through those different scenarios with the students. We have a Clinic Aid presentation at the next PTO meeting, and that's where I've asked her to talk about all of the statistics of the students that we're seeing in the office. I told her I thought that would be important that parents know that it's upwards of hundreds of students that we see on a yearly basis. And the final piece that we're going to talk about for school safety is a parent survey that I'm going to get together in the next couple of weeks. And that's going to give the Mill Valley parents an opportunity to just kind of let us know how we're doing. I wanted to end by the students telling you what makes Mill Valley great. So I asked some of our fourth grade students,
during an indoor recess when it was snowing this week. What makes Mill Valley great? I like the teachers. I love the amazing art projects we get to do. I like the field trips. We haven't taken a field trip. I like the wide selection of books in the library. I like the projects that we get to do. I like switching classes. I love newspaper. I like our 5-4-3-2-1 and leadership club. I like the gym supplies we have. I like the compliments and jobs that we get as we get older. Again, I could have taken an hour to tell you all the wonderful things that are happening at Mill Valley. I thank all the teachers that are here tonight. Thank you for supporting the school. It's because of you that makes my job easy and fun. Or are there any questions about what's going on in Mill Valley?
Thank you. Excellent presentation.
Mr. Rao, I just have to say a couple things, of course. Certainly, how brave of you to take on STEM with kindergartners. And for other teachers who say it won't work at older grades, I'm sending them to you. And my favorite phrase in that whole thing was the student who said, what about we all do it? I mean, let's think seriously as adults when we try to do something collaboratively and it doesn't always go the way we want, and how wise a kindergartner was to say, why don't we all do it? So I thought that was fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done.
All right. Moving on to item 7, superintendent's report.
All right. Well, Craig, do you need a second to set up your laptop or?
No.
Set. Well, I'll talk for a little bit while you're setting up. How's that?
So
we had the honor and privilege and total excitement of going through the new building, or how about renovation of the old building, on last Friday, and I've also been through a couple times this week. I'd like to encourage you all, if you have some time in the upcoming week, give me a call. I'd like to take you through and walk through. It's at a point where things are, you can kind of see what's happening now. Craig's team is doing a fantastic job.
Tearing things apart.
he can give you a better idea of where they are in demolition. I'll talk in superintendent terms in my understanding. Certainly, a lot of the walls are down. They are working on the what used to be the choir room. That was an interesting, I think, area to demolish. Everything has, as you know, we opened it up to staff to come take any old items, remaining items. We also reached out to Trinity and St. John's if we had any desks, chairs, different equipment that was in the building was up for grabs. We also have some surplus, so we had a company come in and do an inventory of that this week to see what of that equipment we could reuse in the building. So certainly you're starting to see the open spaces that we've talked about, some of the open learning environments and open study areas taking place. Most impressive to me was where the old quad was, where it had four walls that were temporary, I guess, of sorts. It used to be a huge lecture hall, I'm thinking, in its original state. Does that make sense to you? That is now wide open and beautiful, even though it's very dusty. So doing a great job, and it's all coming along nicely, I would say.
Yes, it is. We are T-minus 3 months from when we have to have the project ready for occupancy. So with about $7 million left to spend, 6.5 between now and then, you can imagine, as we talked about, how with the challenges. So as I come here month to month, I'll bring photos. Andy, would you drive so I can stand out?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. I'll come here month, give you a walkthrough and some photos of your project. Today it's all about demolition, tearing it apart. And it's interesting about demolition, you know, you see it maybe perhaps on TV, or you've done it yourself, you know, the sledgehammer, and it's actually an art. The way you cut things, the way you leave things, it's not, it's a very necessary process. You do it nicely and neatly. So I'm going to, and I think what I'm going to try to do, if I remember, is each week, or each month, I'm sorry, is stand in the same place and take the same photo for you.
Right.
So I'm going to try to be cognizant of that to make sure that we take up the major areas that we do that. So I didn't take a shot of everything, just the large spaces, but we'll walk through. So let's go ahead and, this is your manufacturing area. So in here will be the large CNC machine, the mechatronics, all the robotic arms, the...
Old band room.
It's the old band room, thank you. So you can see the sound booths right back there kind of in the corner. So all the ceilings are gone, all your casework is gone, and the rubble you see in there is one of the large walls you walk in that's being torn down. So actually behind me is going to be a very large window, which you'll be able to see in there and see a lot of what's going on right from the drive from the street. So that's your future manufacturing lab, mechatronics station right there in the middle. Here is your welding lab area. In there, there used to be a what's called a mezzanine, which was a very difficult, challenging thing to take out, but we got it out nonetheless. Here's a straight shot back as you walk into the welding lab. You'll see a CNC machine and various equipment lined up as you head right towards the camera. And again, that's part of the manufacturing. So I started down in the manufacturing area by the gym and just kind of worked my way around. Your future lecture hall. This used to have a plaster ceiling and acoustic panels and flooring, and not anymore. It was very nasty. It was old, cementitious plaster and lath that was very, not very nice. I don't know how, I'm glad I don't do demolition. So, keep going, going. Future classroom for the manufacturer. This was your art room. You guys happen to remember last time you walked in there, you had all. I think we also kept all the ceiling tiles with all the artwork on it for you, so you can do what you want with it. We want to make sure we save that. It was pretty neat. So it's torn apart now, and it'll be a future classroom, and it'll be nice glazing, or what we call storefront, to look into all these spaces. So when you walk down the hallway, it'll be nice open floor-to-ceiling glass to see in what's going on. This is your cafeteria. In here, we are currently going to configure it for the 150 students that will be in there. We're going to provide all new heating and air conditioning and ventilation and new ceilings, so it'll look brand new. This is your teacher workstation. There's going to be a large partition with windows put into it. One side will be your media center student lounge. The other side will be your teacher workstations, which used to be your media center, your old library.
Wow.
So one of the constant themes is the idea of this building being a living lab. So students are seeing work in action. So kind of at an angle, this is hard to describe, will be a half wall with glass at the top. And on the other side will be all teacher workspace. So the students, as they're working on the other side of the glass wall and doing collaboration, they'll be able to see our staff involved in the same kind of activities. So as we also did the same, since there's an IT pathway in the IT wing where our IT staff are located, we opened that up. We even glassed in some server areas so they can actually see, I guess, the work in action.
Okay. This would be your science classrooms. There used to be science classrooms there. And what was kind of interesting about this room is based on the vintage, something I haven't seen. You know, every once in a while I get surprised with older construction. All the acid waste piping that goes to your existing neutralization tank was glass. Nowadays it's a modern composite plastic that is just tolerant, but I had not run across glass piping in my travels last 20-some years I've done this, so that was kind of interesting. You know, glass piping under slab, interestingly enough. IT, this is going to be your IT labs. Two of them are going to go there. It's going to have quite a bit of storefront glass to look into them. And with outside, kind of a flexible workspace. And what's really neat about this is how Diane and Kathy, thinking kind of outside the box, there's a lot of flexible workspaces that can be used for multiple things. It's an open concept. Now, I'm not much into knowledge about 21st century learning environments, although maybe I should be. But
You're learning.
From what I've gathered, it's really adopting a lot of those concepts that's going to be great. I wish I was a student today, certainly, for what the children have an opportunity for. So. I was hoping Chris was going to be here because he's making such a fuss about his space, the IT workspace that we've torn apart, but he's not here, so it was really for my enjoyment to give him a hard time. He's not here. So this is also a flexible work area for the students. This is outside on the other side of your lecture hall, so this will be a great wide open space. It's just as you see it. New flooring, new paint, and new ceilings, but with furnishings to create an open environment, kind of like a college campus or student center. That is the other side of the IT. Actually, I'm sorry. The last slide was an IT workspace. This slide is your flexible. Yes, that's your IT workspace. There's a bunch of glass. You can imagine the corridor just on the courtyard's just on the side. There's a corridor and a bunch of glass, and that'll be an IT workspace. And this is your flexible learning environment with your, again, with all that glass to the outside of the courtyard and your stage on the other side of that wall.
It's Project Lab. So as teachers create design challenges like we just watched, they'll be able to use that entire lab to put on those challenges separate than their classroom.
Last but not least, the smiling project manager telling you all as well. Thumbs up. We're moving right along.
Highly positive. Well done.
Okay.
What will happen? It's more or less. When I was driving up here and I drove by, I said, I think I'll add a little something, a little touch of me into my presentation. So what better way to express it all as well than me saying thumbs up?
Yeah.
All right. In the next, we have recently bid the second phase, which includes all of your HVAC work, electrical work, plumbing work, doors and windows, aluminum storefront, masonry, structural steel, concrete patch. And over the next 4 weeks, it's going to be, if you stand in place, they might put you in a wall. So I'd be careful when you go out there. But it's going to be quite a bit of work. You're going to see a lot of ductwork going up in the ceiling, a lot of electricians. I mean, we've got probably at any one time in the next few weeks, we'll be up to 75 to 80 people of actual workers performing work on site at any given time. So it's going to be quite a fever pitch. And the last thing we have to do is bid the last part, which is finish it. So the paint, the color selection, which Kathy and Diana get to. I said everything white, but no one really wants to listen to me. It's easier that way. But your colors, your paint, your flooring, just your finishes, your science casework, and your furnishings. So that's what we'll be procuring over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then it's all up to us and the team to get it done.
And do you feel confident that you're going to be able to stay on schedule? All right.
Absolutely. Okay. It's a great challenge, so I'm looking forward to it. I may get a few more gray hairs, maybe not here, but here, nonetheless, it's all part of the job description.
Okay.
It's definitely impressive. Every time I go, there's a new step, so you're doing a great job.
If you get board members, contact Diane. If you get a chance to come out any given week, you'll just be shocked. What you see 1 week to the next. When I come here a month from now, you should be just absolutely shocked because how much has gone in even a month getting started here, very shortly. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Happy? So, I don't have a PowerPoint, but I've been almost as busy as Craig has been in just a different way.
I said
so
my presentation would be more entertaining, did I not?
Yeah. It's true, which really bothers me. Next month, I'm going to dance this summer or something. But, this month has been very busy. We received from ODE just a week ago a STEM designation, so we are an official STEM school other than just calling ourselves, which was really a big project to get accomplished, and I'm certainly happy that that is behind us. And ODE was very nice about our application, that it was thorough and our partnerships were well established. And actually, we've had a couple other schools since then contact us to ask for a copy of the application to see how we put it together.
And Kathy actually had to go defend our application to ODE. So,
which I didn't think was going to be a big deal until the people right in front of me were denied. And then I was like, oh.
Wow.
And then they're like, and now Marysville. I'm like, all right. but it worked out very well. Also, from the Ohio STEM Learning Network, we received a $7,500 grant for professional development. And we're going to use that in June for some mastery learning and some design theory that we're going to use with the staff. So we'll be working with OSLN and the central region to get that accomplished. Also through OSLN, both Jason Worth and I were accepted to the STEM Leaders Conference, and it's like 6 days throughout the year, 2 days in May, 2 days in June, and then a couple times in the fall. So we're excited about that. Along with that, we've done some things with different organizations. Cardinal Health contacted us and asked us to come and talk to them about our program and how they might be involved. I've had some contact with Nationwide Children's Hospital, and they also want to be involved. So that has been both exciting and that they're calling us. I mean, it's a big deal that they want to know what our program is going to be like. With my teachers, we have worked together to put together some things that we're going to do this summer. We're also going to organize all our interdisciplinary units, or just our whole framework for our school, starting with science. So our science teachers put together some overarching themes, and then math fills in, social studies fills in, and language arts fills in with that. So we're starting to plan what our units look like. We're working closely with Columbus State to organize the early college classes and what the students will get as juniors. We look like we can absolutely front load the high school credits in the first 2 years, and then as juniors they will get either dual enrollment or classes. And so we're organizing right now what exactly those classes will be.
It appears from our initial conversation with them, students in the manufacturing pathway only at this point, that's what we've developed most, could be able to reach in excess of 40 credits of college before they leave high school right here at Marysville without leaving. Some of the courses, because of safety and equipment concerns, they may have to take on Columbus State campus, so we're talking about summer offerings of those courses, but at this point, it looks if a student can test college ready, there are some factors in there, but they would have the opportunity to earn over 40 college credits in that pathway.
Amazing.
Questions for Kathy?
Thank you. Yeah.
Kathy, your team also met with every student.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That was very coolest day. And actually, the parents, too. We interviewed the kids, asking them how they like to learn, what they were worried about, what classes they're looking forward to. Just to start, part of what we are focused on is really personalizing what they need as well. So number one, two things that brought them to the school was college credit and hands-on learning, so the STEM pedagogy and college credit. Biggest worry is not the rigor as much as the pace. I think that's certainly, you know, we're cognizant as a staff to say just double classes don't mean double homework or those kind of things. And so we're certainly thinking and planning about how that will look. So we spent the day in the morning interviewing them, and then we had parents come in the evening so they could hear the same thing. Sometimes the message from eighth graders doesn't go quite the same way home. Mm-hmm. And so we gave them an option to listen, and parents were very enthusiastic about it. And certainly in as fast as we're turning this around, I was very appreciative of parents being willing to say, when I could say I'm not sure about how this is yet going to work, but it will work, that was, they were also very enthusiastic and excited for their students. So it was a great day.
Were there many comments about like the social issue of just all of the ninth graders being in there and not being out at the high school with the rest of the classes?
No, not too much. Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly one of the questions we had asked kids is what ways are you going to be involved in the high school? And and Aaron and I have had lots of conversations about it's still one class. The only issue I think parents raised was moving back and forth. Kids will go there for band and choir, and I had a mom say, well, if we got out the same time, wouldn't kids be late for sports? And it's something I'll talk to Joe Blind about. You know, I don't want our kids to be 10 minutes late to anything that happens, but I think that we can work that out. So really, that was really the only concern was more about the travel back and forth.
some students actually were excited because they would never be the youngest group. They figured out that they will never freshmen, really.
That's
because
right.
Next year,
that's right. Right. They're the oldest in the building, right?
Yeah. That's right.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Kathy, what's the gender ratio of the students coming?
We have 145 kids. 40 of them are girls. So I will say this though about these young ladies too: they are smart, strong, independent girls that are willing to go into a school that's a little bit different. I would say generally though, about all 145 kids, these are certainly courageous early initiators, that they're coming to a school that's not built, with a staff that wasn't put together, with a curriculum that's not well defined, and they're willing to say, yes, we want to try this. So I think that they're all exceptional in that way, but certainly we have way more boys. Oddly enough, my staff is way heavy on girls, so it's going to even itself out. I have way more female staff members right now than I do males. It's Jason Worth.
Okay, is that it?
Yep. I just wanted to hit our students, and I'll make it quick. Past couple weeks have been involved in park pilot testing, so we had the opportunity for them to take some online option components of that and kind of get used to those testing options. And then OAAs are just around the corner for grades 3 through 8 coming up beginning of May, so we want to keep that on our radar. Also, next month we'll move forward with the strategic plan and bring that for the board for approval so that we can make that official and start getting it out to start next school year.
Great.
All right.
Okay. Todd, Mr. Johnson, Treasurer's Report.
Okay, before I get into my update, I'd like to introduce Eric Phillips from the Union County Chamber of Commerce. He's here to update the board on economic development in the county, especially as it relates to the tax base of the district.
Thank you, Todd, Diane, and board members very much. And the opportunity, I have Jenny Chavarria here, the finance director for the city as well, so she's intimately involved in this as well. And we're talking about two issues. Before I go down that path, I want to applaud Diane, the school board, the staff, for this STEM. This is creating a buzz, not just with the business community in Marysville, Union County, but in Columbus. People are talking about this. This is exciting stuff. Can't say enough about the importance of what you're doing here. So it's a great opportunity for our community, and you guys are really providing a great opportunity to our businesses as well, so we greatly appreciate that. There's two issues tonight, I guess, before you. I don't know which one, Todd, you'd like to approach first. Do you want to talk about the economic development incentive policy, maybe, and then we can...
Yeah.
I did sort of a summary. My idea of a summary is always way too long, but you have a summary in front of you that basically gives you an overview of some history. I think Mr. Pleasant actually was on council at the time we did some of the work many years ago, I think back in 04, 05, somewhere in that range. But back at that time, we worked with the school district, as well as the city and the county, to develop an economic development incentive policy. And the reason why we did this, we wanted to basically look at economic development incentives and who they impact, which are the school districts, the city, and the county, and to look to see how we can improve the process, to streamline the process, to make it more business-like, to also establish some thresholds, expectations we have of companies before we offer any incentives, and also develop a partnership between the city, the schools, the county, and all those taxing agencies that are impacted if we do some type of incentives. In a perfect world, I would say we should never do incentives. But the real world is, if we don't do them, another community's going to do them, another state's going to do them, another country's going to do them, and we're going to lose if we don't do some type of incentive. It is something that gets companies to locate in your community. Very important part of that. But prior to doing this, we discovered that our process was somewhat cumbersome. It was taking months to get answers from the city, the schools, and the county, and we were taking months to get to businesses to let them know, here are the incentives we're willing to offer. And so the process was very cumbersome. So we sat at the table, we did a strategy in 03. That strategy said that we needed to improve this process. So we went back and said, let's do an incentive policy, let's get everyone at the table. And happy to say at the time, we brought the county commissioners, the city of Marysville, the village of Richwood, the village of Plain City, Fairbanks Local School District, Jonathan Aller Local School District, Marysville School District, as well as the North Union, all said, and we all agreed that we're going to better the process. And so we came up with some terms, some agreements on how we were going to look at incentives. And from that came the EDIP, as we call it, the acronym, not a very good acronym, but the Economic Development Incentive Policy that we actually utilize. And it covered many different areas, such as the Enterprise Zone or the CRA, which are tax abatements, which impact the school district. The school district gets about 76% of the taxes, or real property taxes, so it definitely impacts the school district. Municipal income tax rebates would be strictly with the city, infrastructure grants, industrial revenue bond financing, tax increment financing, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, and foreign trade zones. And how it went through all this and said, these are the incentives we're willing to offer, and here's how we approach this. What brought me tonight to give you this overview of how the incentive policy came together is the Heritage Cooperative deal that I think you have a proposed agreement before you. That is an agreement that's based upon this incentive policy that was agreed many years ago, almost 10 years now. And basically what it says is that, and let me step back here, in the state of Ohio, if you do a tax abatement, which we're offering to Heritage Cooperative, which has been approved, you basically have to, basically, if there's more than $1 million in payroll, you have to share 50% of the income taxes with the school district. So the city would have to give 50% of the income taxes if you have a payroll on an annual basis that exceeds $1 million. And we took that, and there's another clause to that that says, unless the school district and the city come up with some other type of agreement within 6 months of the original enterprise zone agreement being passed. I don't mean to get too complicated here, but that's kind of how the state law reads. And so what we decided to do is to look at all the taxes that are collected, put them into an imaginary pot, and the city and the school split them 50-50. And that's really what the deal was that we struck during this incentive policy discussion. And so it's also key to keep in mind that in this agreement to protect the school districts, only the city in this agreement can pay the school district. The school district never has to pay the city. So we protected the schools from that standpoint where they get to keep those funds if they exceed the funds that the cities are receiving. And a great example, we actually did an agreement such as this in 04, and basically was with Honda Lock. The city has made about $35,000 in payments over the last, I guess that's almost 9 years now, have been made to the school district from the city of Marysville as a result of an agreement very similar to the one you have before you with Heritage. So that kind of gives you an overview of why we created this type of an agreement, because it's based on the incentive policy. The Heritage deal that you have before you to consider, some numbers here. This is a very property investment intensive project. On property intensive projects, it's more than likely that the city is going to get the school district is going to get a larger share than the city. On income tax intensive projects, it's more likely that the city is going to get a larger share than the school district. So that's just something important to keep in mind. And Heritage is investing $38.5 million within the school district in the city of Marysville. So over that, with the abatement that was approved by the city and the county, over the 10-year period, Heritage Cooperative will pay approximately, this is an estimated, about $68,000 a year or $682,000 over a 10-year period. The city would collect about $249,000 over that same period, over that 10-year period. So during that term, it's also important to keep in mind that due to the higher the property taxes that the school district will receive, the city will not receive a payment from the school, so there's no payments are going to be made this entire term, unless Heritage pays more payroll and then the city would owe the schools. So that kind of gives you an overview of why we or how we got to the Heritage Cooperative deal that we're talking about this evening. And you know, it's also important to mind that we just had the Moriuku, which is an R&D company, very exciting project, R&D, high-paying jobs, about 60 a year. The city actually is doing an income tax rebate, and 100% of the property taxes are going to be paid on that. So we did a different type of incentives. It didn't involve the school district, didn't involve any impact on the TIF that we're going to talk about, because it was actually in the TIF district. So those taxes are going to be paid, which is a good thing. So the city's actually giving up $339,000 in that deal. So it's kind of a partnership in all this, where the city gives up some, the county gives up some, the school district gives up some, and in return, we hope we create jobs and investment. That's really the goal here. And I know I've confused everyone here because of all these in and out things. But that's kind of it in a nutshell, in an economic development person's mind speaking this evening. And I apologize if I confused anyone. So if you have any questions about how we got to this point, I'm here to answer them. See, I did.
And I should have pointed out before he started, the it's not a, we don't have it here at this meeting. We
right.
wanted to have this as a, as an informational session to update the board, and then at our May meeting, we'll likely be bringing two separate resolutions: one related to the heritage abatement, and the other related to the Meyer TIF.
Right, and we have received all of the spreadsheets, you know, that outlines that split of revenues and all that kind of stuff. So I actually followed what you were saying, I think. But I wouldn't want to repeat it.
Well, I'm here to, I mean, if you have any questions between now and your next board meeting, let me know. I'm more happy to try to answer.
I mean, thanks for coming to share that. And and I want to do a shout out for you too, because Eric has been honored with some pretty nice things here recently, and I think we're lucky to have him here in Marysville and in Union County. So he was named chair of the Mid-Ohio Regional. Yeah.
And today he received a special award at the Morpsey Luncheon. He was, I don't know the exact name, but it's for the board member
Regional
award.
Board Leadership
yeah.
Award.
So. Right. So yeah. I mean, I know you're doing a lot of great work. You and your staff are just doing a lot of great work for Marysville and Union County. So.
Diane was heckling in the crowd.
Yeah.
No, don't blow his head up.
Okay. Right, that's right.
You
okay.
Live with it.
Diane knows you're only good as your last meeting.
Okay.
I'd like to say that I really appreciate in this overview
history,
of
right.
Skindale through that, and getting background of some of the history has helped me understand a little bit better where we are and how we got here. So thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome. Now, there's one other issue that I want to try to confuse you on this evening. This is actually the Meyer TIF property issue. This is a little more complicated than the last one. So so basically, I've got the wrong
sheet.
Pass them out backwards. Did I pass them out backwards? Can I have one of those back so I can talk about that one?
Here you go. I got an extra one.
Okay, sorry. I got one here. So, apologize. Okay. I'm really confusing myself.
Okay. Oh, we'll keep it here.
This is actually and I apologize, you had this earlier. This is a little more complicated. This is actually a report, an overview of the history of a tax increment financing district that we created for Coleman's Crossing and added City Gate at a later time. We all know, we all shop there, we spend money there. And so to go back even further to explain what a TIF is, a TIF is a tax increment financing district, and basically what you do is you create a district, you gerrymander your district, you take the property taxes and you invest them in the infrastructure, the roads, the public utilities, to get roads in that property to basically allow those businesses to grow, create jobs and investment, with the game plan at some point that we're going to get 100% all the taxes and life is better for all of us. And things have changed since 2004 when we created this. We had the 23 mil charge off. Now you don't have that, which was an advantage to the school district when you're dealing with these types of issues. So changes have happened since 04. So the history in 04, we had actually the owner of Honda Marysville came to us and said, hey, we have a Home Depot and a Walmart that want to come to Marysville. And we want to develop this property. We have $8 million of infrastructure improvements, and we don't know how we're going to do this. How can you propose to do this? So we started having meetings. We had meetings with the schools. We had meetings with the city council to basically educate what a TIF was. We'd never done a TIF in the county. And so from that, we developed a plan on how we could do a TIF district, a 30-year TIF district. And we actually gerrymandered a district that included the City Gate property where it's located, and then all the way down to Coleman's Crossing, all the way down to the veterans facility and along Industrial Parkway. And in doing that, there was a piece of property that was owned by a church. As we all know, churches do not pay property taxes. So we excluded that property, thinking that would always be a church. It would never be developed commercially. And so last year, however, the church made a decision, wise decision, to sell their property to Meijer. Meijer is now constructing a $10 million facility, has constructed. It won't open until August. The reason why it's not open until August, there's three stores that are opening this year, I guess, in the region, and are in Ohio, and this is the third one to open, so that's why it's open in August. It is done, but they're starting to hire now, so it'll open up in August. I get that question every meeting when I come in, when they're going to open. So in 2007-08, we added CityGate. That was $4 million more. So there's $12 million infrastructure improvements that were done in both of those areas. And basically, we also had an issue in 08 called the recession that hurt a lot of our growth. We're now coming back. We're stronger now than we have been since 06. So things are looking up, we hope we have more commercial development as things goes on. So when the TIF was done back in 04, the deal was there was a compensation agreement that went to the school district. Debt service was paid first on the roads, then the school district received compensation, which equated to about 47-48% of the taxes you normally would receive, of all the taxes collected. You normally would receive today about 76%, so that you can do the math and see what the schools are investing or making this, how they're making this happen. The property that we were concerned about, the Meijer TIF, there's about 21 years left on the TIF to go. And the city would like to add the Meijer property to this to allow us to help pay the debt service. Honestly, since the recession hit, the TIF has not been performing to the level we would like to see it. Actually, it's been difficult along the way year in, year out, because we just haven't had the development. Some of the developments going in now in CityGate, for example, will not pay property taxes. So it doesn't really help the TIF out. So the TIF is not performing very well. So adding the Meijer property would allow the debt service to be paid, the school district to receive the compensation payment, and may also allow a little bit of money left over to basically do improvements to Coleman's Crossing Boulevard, maybe put a traffic signal at Industrial Parkway and Coleman's Crossing Boulevard, and maybe do some other improvements that might encourage more growth and development along Coleman's Crossing Boulevard. That's at least the hope. A TIF is a partnership, and working with the schools and the city, and understand this, that no one else is paid out of this TIF fund except for the schools. The county entities, everyone else, they're giving up 100% of their taxes in a TIF deal. They're all going into the debt service for the road infrastructure. The schools are the only taxing authority that are paid. All the others go into the roadway. So everyone's really giving something up in this, and if you look at the bigger picture. So that's kind of how a TIF works. And I don't want to get into all the numbers, but you can see that if we add Meijer, we will generate approximately $2.3 million will actually go to Marysville schools over the next 21 years. That's a pretty good chunk of money. $2.6 million would actually go into the TIF fund to pay off the debt service over that 21 years. So that's the TIF overview. The city, I think, has already voted, Jenny, on adding.
Able to ask a question. Aren't the health department and all that receiving the tax money as if it was still farmland?
They receive the unimproved value, yes, that is true.
So I think it was said that they're not receiving anything, but they're receiving the same as they did when it was farmland.
Correct. So Dan makes a very good point. So when you do a TIF, the TIF is only impacts the increment, the increase in new buildings that are constructed. The base land value at the time the TIF was done, the health department, all the other entities receive those taxes. That is correct. And those values actually increase because of the buildings that are on it. So they do get increases in the taxes. A lot of the farm properties are on CAUV, and you're familiar with CAUV. And basically, a lot of them don't receive a lot of money. But with the increase in this property, they're seeing probably an uptick, or they are seeing an uptick in their property taxes that they receive. So that was the second issue.
And so we will also be voting on this next month, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, if we have questions, we'll contact you if you think of anything afterwards.
The only question I had, you said that you want
want Meyer to be part of the TIF, so is that going to happen, or are you not sure?
Well, you have to approve it. So in the state of Ohio, anything over 10 years or 75% requires school okay. board approval when you're doing the incentive. If the city would just do a 10-year 75%, it wouldn't require school board approval. But since it's 21 years and it's 100% TIF with a compensation agreement back to the school district, then it requires school board approval. So the city council would have to approve it, and the school board would have to approve it.
And the city council is going to vote on it.
We don't have an agenda until the school board approves.
Right.
We have to go first. Okay.
And I had just received the resolution from the city's attorney as it would relate to the Meyer TIF, so you know, I'll be reviewing that and I'll update the board as soon as possible.
Good.
Some other items for the treasurer's update. On the agenda today, we have two hires for the treasurer's office, both of which are replacing positions who have resigned at previous meetings, so we've been operating a little shorthanded for the last couple months. One of the positions is going to be filling a payroll spot. That person is being brought in step 21. Some questions were asked about that. Why are we hiring someone with so much experience? We've coming into the district new, the office seemed a little overwhelmed, to say the least. So as opposed to bringing someone in new and having some of this overwhelm, training someone new and just kind of just trying to keep your head above water and maintain status quo, I felt it was important for the growth of the fiscal department to bring someone in with experience who can hit the ground running, develop some efficiencies that will not only impact the treasurer's office, but will be felt district-wide. Mm-hmm. We're also hiring an assistant treasurer. The previous position was an accounts payable position, so this is somewhat of a step up in terms of the ability that this person will bring to the job. Again, I think this position is going to just really bring efficiencies and innovations to the treasurer's office. This position in particular will help a lot with the internal controls of the just fiscal processes district-wide. I think there's a need at the building level for some just additional support. This person is very well qualified to provide that. And again, as I said, it's important she's going to be able to hit the ground running. And I think it's important also to note that because, like I said, the being overwhelmed, I wanted to bring these people in with that experience to get us to a point where the next time we have to fill a position, you know, at that point we get the office running like I think it should, then you'll be able to bring in somebody new and they'll just fill in and, you know, just running on full cylinders and not have any issues. But I don't feel that we're at that point yet that you could bring somebody in new without having some hiccups along the way. So these two hires, I think, are going to get our office functioning as it should be. There's a large appropriations increase to be approved in Fund 466. That's our straight A fund. You'll be getting used to that. There's two additional grants that we're going to be receiving, two different pathways, as Diane has mentioned. That amounts a little over $1 million, I believe. There are two resolutions to be approved, one for a note issuance, the other for a bond refunding. Just want to point out that bond refunding, depending upon interest rates, that should save the debt service fund on average about $40,000 annually, or a total over the life of the bonds about $620,000. So that's good news. Also wanted to point out that we just recently received the Auditor of State Award for our fiscal year 13 audit.
So that's just basically noting that there were, the audit didn't find any material weaknesses, any significant citations, or those kinds of things. I guess sticking with the good news, the revenue portion of our projections has increased significantly. Just at the end of March, part of that is related to our real estate taxes. Our valuations have come in significantly higher on our personal property utility valuations. So I'll be updating you more fully on this at our May meeting. But that equated that, and then there are also some delinquencies. So the one side with the personal property, that should really carry through the forecast and be an increase throughout. The delinquency, that's one of those that kind of goes up and down. So you're not really something that we know how it's going to impact us long term. But for the current year, that's an increase of about $370,000 over the projections. Even more significantly, our state funding. They recently, at the end of our second March foundation payment, they did a readjustment that netted us an additional $104,000. Well, that readjustment also caused an adjustment into our fiscal year 14 numbers because based on the formula and the cap numbers and all that. So it also adjusted that. To the tune of, for this year alone, an additional $453,000. So, some good news on the revenue side.
Great. Nice.
That's all for me. If there's any questions.
Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda, our Ohio High Point report. Mr. Decco is here.
Hey. Good evening, everybody. I'm late, so I'll try to be concise.
Okay.
Not be as complex as Eric.
Thank you.
Start out with congratulating you on your STEM accreditation. It's really important. It's great stuff. I work at Honda, and part of my job is the staffing area. So we often talk about our future workforce. Where will we get the kids that are excited, about manufacturing, want to work in that type of industry? So this activity is really important to the business community. So keep up the good work, and kudos to your efforts at the kindergarten level. Start them out early and get them excited. That's awesome. So it's really good stuff. So the meeting occurred March 26th, and as usual, they recognized the student of the month. This young lady was Caitlin Frederick. She was a cosmetology student in West Liberty. And she didn't talk so much about the trade that she learned. It was more about the interpersonal skills that she gained from the program and her comfort level with working in kind of a customer service setting. That was one of the reasons why she joined the program. She's going to go on to a road state and I think get into a career that's not related to that, but she was very complimentary about the education and her ability to be more comfortable in a customer service setting. Dr. Price gave an update on a number of things. He's had some meetings with some of the employers in Champaign County, those that are in the manufacturing space. He's been talking to some of the HR folks as it relates to workforce development. What type of skill sets do you need? How can we assist you in that endeavor? He gave an update on the building projects, and they're doing some innovation and renovating to accommodate some of their curriculum changes, and that's really the gist of that. A couple key points, the auto service, they're moving to a new space, and they're spending a lot of money in the multimedia lab, renovating that and putting state-of-the-art technology. That's nearing completion. Talked a little bit about the fiscal year 15 budget, and they're working on their five-year plan. And then they are partnering with Kenton in the street. I think it's called Straight A Grant, mm-hmm. I believe, because they're looking to expand the satellite programs, and they want to grow the enrollment in Kenton in the 2015-2016 school year.
Not to interrupt you, but we're a part of that, too.
Yeah,
so there
awesome.
Are... There was opportunity for 14 districts to join, and I think we ended up with 7, but the idea is to create that pathway idea and also extend it down to the middle school. So start exposing students to those 4 pathways and STEM pedagogy at the 7th and 8th grade.
Awesome.
So
perfect.
It's exciting.
Treasurer's report, the one thing they mentioned was they donate a lot of equipment, and I include mm-hmm. this in the report, talked to Sue a little bit about it. A lot of the schools received equipment, IT equipment, computers. I think one school received like a diesel truck. And I didn't see Marysville in there, so I'm curious what we can do maybe next year. This is an annual event that they do, and they dispose of these assets. And you kind of described it like first come, first serve, but I want to research that a little bit more, and we might be able to take advantage of that next year, and I think it's something to do annually. So we went into executive session and talked about some compensation and some staffing issues. I joined the committee report. We think we have two of those each year, and the high school program director talked about the enrollment that they've seen so far. It's 314 in the main campus. If my math is correct, 50 of those students are Marysville students. She also shared they have completed, and I'm going to pass this around to you folks, they have put this abstract together of all the different programs. This one happens to be the welding, which is new this year. All right, and they talked about, let's do a welding program. There are 16, I think, that are enrolled in that, so that's a pretty good number, and they feel good about the size of that. But these documents are available on the website. It's something they give to prospective students as well, so she talked about that. A couple of changes in the program. I guess the professional turf landscaping and horticulture, that's been bundled. It's now called Outdoor Careers. You may already know that. And then they have kind of renamed electrical, plumbing, and pipe fitting. It's now referred to as mechanical construction program. So they've unified those disciplines. Some teacher updates. These are the Marysville connections. Amy, you know these people. I probably don't. Amy Nickel, Bunsell Middle School, CBI program. She talked about some of the students working on a local printing and design company to expand the merchandise that's sold in the stores. And I believe they got a grant from the Chamber of Commerce to help with advertising that. So that was a real application. Those folks, Art Spragan, talked about the pre-engineering students. They participated. Rome State had a technology challenge on May 7th, and two teams took first and second place, respectively. It's called the Paper Roller Coaster Contest. Maybe you heard about that, but they won first and second place. So kudos for those kids. Sally Andres, and she talked about the student nursing aid. They did their testing, their state testing. They did very well. They were obviously nervous, but performed very well, she said. And the last tidbit is the convocation is on May 28th. Our plan to attend that, representing Marysville. And I guess there were two staff members that resigned. I think they're really retiring. Robin Harrington and Lena Fulkerson, if you know those folks. They've, will be retiring. So that's my report. Any questions?
I really appreciate it. I mean, we get
your
report ahead of time, and I enjoy reading it because it communicates, and I feel like you really know what's going on at High Point, and
well, thank you.
Much more connected to it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's yours to keep up.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Legislative report. Mr. Smith.
The legislature is finishing up and heading into recess, essentially. Governor is some of the biggest part of his mid-year budget was approved and passed. And I think that in general, schools were treated kindly in what happened. There was nothing of great significance in that respect. Legislature will be in recess, mostly in recess, until November. About the third week in November, they will come back into session. So there will not be a lot of activity. There will be some committee work and some other things take place. So.
Okay. Do you want to touch at all on just kind of our reaching out on the House Bill 229 or not?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I've been in contact with both of our local representatives and communicated with them on two separate bills. Hold on. of them was Senate Bill 220. Senate Bill 220 prohibits school districts from charging fees for dual enrollment credits. And the impact on our school district as we ramp up the early college would be very significant. And I urge Senator Burke, because the legislation's currently over in the Senate, to allow local school districts to work with colleges and universities to try and make sure that courses were offered to students and that the costs associated were taken care of in part by allowing the schools to negotiate a much reduced price for hours, the charges the universities and colleges make for hours of credit, and allow the school district then to pass those on to the student, to the parents of those students. We have had very good relationships with the colleges and universities that we've been involved in, specifically Clark State and Urbana University. Clark's State Community College, for example, when a student takes a course from them, they pay $37.50 a credit hour, and the regular charge per credit hour is $136. Mm-hmm. So it is a considerable reduction. 3-hour course taken it in at our high school would be $112.50. If you took it on the Clark State campus, it would be $408. Mm-hmm.
So really, currently we are passing those charges along. So this bill was changing that. We're just urging them to keep it the way it is.
It would prohibit us from passing those charges on, and would mean that the school taxpayers essentially would then be responsible for paying those costs.
Really, then. That bill takes care of the language in the governor's last budget that would make us incur that cost.
Right.
So it strikes the language that we cannot put that on to the parents. So,
It would allow us to continue to do what we've been doing.
Correct. Yep.
Rather than what was proposed. There was also Senate Bill 229. Passed in almost unanimously, the Senate went over the House, and a substitute bill was put in its place. And that has to do with the OTES system, the Ohio Teacher Evaluation System. And in talking with Representative Plant and also in talking with Senator Burke, tried to let them know that principals in our district said that they really liked the system. The OTES system was allowing them to get into great conversations with teachers. The teachers seemed to be very supportive of this after overcoming some initial concerns and so forth. Seemed to be a very great program, but the problem was that it requires somewhere between 6 and 8 hours for each observation, with teachers getting 2 observations in the course of a year. And what came out of the Senate and what I encouraged them both to support was a change to the OTES system that would allow those teachers that demonstrate exceptional skills to be evaluated, observed less frequently, and allow the teachers then to spend or principals to spend more time with other matters of pressing need, or working with those teachers that may need some assistance or help in meeting standards. So hopefully that will help us.
Thank you very much. Okay. For the Finance Committee, just a reminder that we do have a Finance Committee meeting this coming Thursday, April 24th at 6 o'clock at the board office. That's all I have from the Finance Committee. So now, moving on to item 8, public participation. And I believe we do have one person on the list tonight. That would be Mr. Foat. So, Mr. Foat, would like to address us. Just to remind you, you do have about 3 minutes to share.
I'll try and be brief.
Okay.
Dan Foat. I've been a resident of the Marysville School District for 36 years. I know most of you here, but we served on city council together, Diane and I had a brief discussion this week and talked about some issues, so I enjoyed that. Thank you for your time. I've got 3 children that are Marysville graduates. I've been on city council for 14 years. I have an agricultural background. Spent 17, I've got a degree in agronomy from Purdue University, and spent 17 years in agribusiness and 22 years at Scotts. And my wife, getting to the education side, my wife worked 31 years in the prison system in education. She actually is a principal, has a principal certificate in education, but she worked in the prisons. So it's a little bit different thing. But I have one daughter that's a third grade teacher in Worthington, and I've got 7 grandchildren. So I do have an interest in education, and I've got 3 neighbor boys that are sort of our adopted grandchildren. So I really do have an interest in Marysville schools, even though my kids have been gone for a few years. So I've got a concern about funding of the schools, and you talked about 220, I believe it was, that could be as much as $1 million. Is that right? Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years from now, it could be $1 million out of your budget. So I realize that there's problems like that. The charter schools. Now I'm in favor of vouchers and charter schools if they're done properly, but charter schools often don't have the same oversight. They don't go by the same rules that public schools go by, and that's sometimes a problem. And I think you see a number of charter schools going bankrupt in the middle of the year, and those kids are just sort of splashed out into either the public schools or different charter schools, and they're really not getting a good education if they're going to a bankrupt charter school. So I think there's a lot of cases where the public tax dollars are being wasted by charter schools. So I think there needs to be some oversight. And if I've got the numbers correct, it's Marysville's losing over $600,000 per year, because over $5,000 follows that child from Marysville schools to the charter school. Now, that money does, if the student is going to a parochial school or homeschool, that money does not leave the school district, just for the charter school. So I think, first of all, it's my opinion, that's way too much money to be following that child. Number two is the charter schools need more oversight. Mm-hmm. So that would be some of the things that I would be working on to try to help the funding of the public schools. And that's pretty much it. I'll end it there. Any questions or anything? I'm in the Republican primary challenging Dorothy Planda. So I'll be in the May 6th election. Okay. And then if I win, then I'll be in the November election. So
great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dan. All right, moving on to 9. We need a motion to approve our minutes from the March 20th meeting and the April 1st special work session.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carried. Item 10, treasure items. We need a motion to approve all the treasure action items. I'll make that motion. We have a second by, okay, motion by Ms. Devine, second by Mr. Pleasant. Do we have any discussion?
I would say I appreciate the explanation on the hiring and review of what you're doing within the financial section of the school district. And so thank you very much for some clarification on that.
And appreciate the refunding, the opportunity for the additional refunding of bonds that will save us some significant money. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that the interest rates stay where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, then can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Item 11, superintendent items. Do we have a motion to approve all these action items?
So move.
Second?
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mr. Smith. Discussion?
You see the employments moving. You might be a little confused with the Mike Robertson piece. As you remember, we hired him as an interim partway through the year. So this is, ironically, his teaching contract is also up this year. So we went ahead and transitioned him into an administrative contract for next year. He's doing very well. As well, you can see we have some resignations on at the bottom, and then quite a list of contracts to be renewed for next year and the HR items. And as well, as we talked earlier, so we still continue to get a few volunteers here and there as the school year goes on. I think that is... The other items are for prom, which is May 3rd. I was going to also, at this point, mention graduation, which is May 24th. You want to make sure that's on your calendars at 7 o'clock. Next meeting, you will be getting the list of graduates for approval.
Wow.
So the school year has flown by, to say the least.
I did. Oh, I also noticed on there the is it the base? The just want to make a comment about this, about the Bunsold After School program.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to be going to the All American Soapbox Derby competition.
Yes.
And that we did have some students place, I think, in that first.
Yes, on our website, too.
Yeah, it's on the website. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. All right. Any questions?
No, I'd just like to point out that one of the resignations was Monty at the Valley.
She's been there a long time.
Yeah.
And she has been here. Very dedicated teacher. And I wish her well in retirement. Hope she finds all the joy and happiness that she's looking forward to.
Right. All right. Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Item 12. Comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith?
It was really nice to see so many fine young students here, and the presentation, the video was just absolutely fascinating, seeing those kindergarten kids. An absolutely marvelous job. Just there's a lot of good things happening in your school district, a lot of change, and it feels like we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I did know everything that Mr. Smith said, along with, it's so exciting to see these kids come up and be getting college with their sports, their academics, and getting grants to go to college and on. It's just, it's very exciting. I've been here 37 years, and my own boys graduated from here, and we went that route, and they got into colleges and stuff. And to see that go on with now kids that are friends of my kids, their kids are going, it's amazing. So it's fun and it's exciting. So.
I appreciated all the presentations today. Got a lot out of everybody who came and presented and learned a lot. Appreciated what you showed, a little slice of what you're doing with the kindergarten students. Thank you for that and for what you're doing here and your hospitality. Mr. L, yeah. I heard everybody call you Mr. L, so I learned that tonight too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'll give us the little housekeeping things here with some upcoming dates for all of us. First of all, we are going to, Diane is going to be speaking at the Business Impact Breakfast this coming Thursday morning, April 24th at 8 o'clock in the Marysville Commons, I believe. Mm-hmm. Okay.
With a tour of the early college building following. So,
and that is open. That is open to the public, I believe. It's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. So again, that's Thursday morning, April 24th at 8 o'clock. So we'll be hearing an update about the early college high school and have a chance to go and tour. That afternoon at lunchtime, Mrs. Mankins is also going to be recognized with the Leadership Award for the having been awarded the Leadership in Education, again, by the Chamber of Commerce, a great honor. And that lunch is going to be held at Der Dutchman from 11:30 to 1.
That same day?
Yes, that same day. That night, we'll have our finance committee meeting. So, and then on May 2nd and 3rd, again, a reminder, the Board Leadership Institute. I know several of us have already signed up for that. There's still time if you want to sign up, get with Todd. On May 6th, we're going to be having a board workshop meeting starting at 4:35, and that will be to go over the five-year forecast, I hope.
Hope so.
Good. We hope you're ready. And again, just kind of that reminder, graduation is going to be May 24th, and so we are lucky to be a part of that. It's an amazing event. So now that I've got through all of those, I also would just like to thank, I know the Good Apple people aren't here, too many of them, but it's amazing all of the time that they're willing to volunteer for our district, our kids, our community. It's wonderful. I have been able to get into several of the buildings here recently. And it just blows me away. You go into these classrooms, and I just come out of it so excited. I wish I could go back to school. I know everybody always says it, but it's really true. It's fun to watch what's going on. It's fun to see the kids so engaged, and not just sitting at desks. It's wonderful. So I appreciate all the work that is starting from the top, going down through the principals, and the teachers are excited and willing to try all sorts of new things. So we really appreciate that. Let's see. Thank you for your hospitality. That's it for me. Mrs. Mankins.
I probably talked enough tonight. Okay. Just again, the Good Apple Awards and our students. It's always nice to invite the students in and put faces to names that we sometimes don't recognize. And I went to several wrestling matches, and I still wouldn't tell you that that's who they are with their singlets and headgear on. So certainly congratulations to Sean as well. It's fantastic season to end up third in the state. Right. That's a rarity and a great accomplishment.
Right. Yes. I should second that too. I'm sorry, because I did. I attended my first wrestling matches this year, and I was
fun.
I was at that last one, and it was intimidating. Mm-hmm. It was impressive. Sorry, Mr. Johnson.
Nothing to add.
Okay. With that, can we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Mr. Pleasant and Mr. Smith, roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 9:03.
What's the time on the
4:35.
Thank you.
At the board office.
Thanks, Craig, for
We're happy. That's right. I have to. We work 2 minutes earlier. Hope for traffic. Yeah. You're leaving town on the 8th.
Seriously.
Okay.
We were so secluded, I had no phone service. And that wasn't even planned. It just about killed my son, right?
Yeah.
But we got a kayak, and we kayaked out in the ocean, and the dolphins are close enough to touch.
Oh, wow.
I'm playing.
That's my favorite.
It was just, and I had never kayaked in the ocean. It wasn't very easy getting out.
Oh, yeah. You know? But that would be, I'd be scared.
But
it was a little scary.
It was great fun. Yeah. I can't even tell you we did anything all that amazing, but it was great fun.
What about just a break? Not here. We don't have a phone.
Right. I could email because we had the Wi-Fi in the condo.
Yep.
But the phone service couldn't sustain a call. Like every once in a while I could text, but.
It's like when we go up to my parents' cottage in New York.
What part were you in? We were in, it's called St. Joe's, Cape St. Joe.
Okay.
And we stayed on the beach side, which is called,
Cape Blast, B-L-A-S. And it's a peninsula.